Blog Talk Radio. This is the EWN Radio Network.
To continue the healing path, they might have just taken a tiny little detour here or there.
Of course. It's like it reminds me of when way before nav systems and cars, and my father, we'd be on our trip on our way someplace, and of course he would never stop to ask for directions, and we would be lost driving around in circles, and he would turn around, and when I'd say, Daddy, are we lost? He says, we're not lost, we're just getting to know the area.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show dedicated to practical skills for your mind, body, and soul. We're hoping we'll go in one ear and stay there. Here's the host of the show, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome to this special series we're featuring here on Life Interrupted Radio, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. The NIH estimates nearly 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder. To put that in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. You'll be as surprised as I was to find out what autoimmune entails. I brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted. So let's get started.
Welcome, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, from SharonSaylor.com, and the show, all of the evergreens, are located over at www.lifeinterruptedradio.com. And tonight I have a very special guest that I met a few months ago. And, you know, have you ever met somebody and you just hit it off? And it's almost like you've known him for a really, really long time, but you just met him? Well, that's what happened when I met Sonia Trejo at an e-women's conference. We met and just clicked. It was like meeting my sister or something, because we started chatting, and then we chatted some more, and we chatted some more. So since she is an expert in her field of helping people live well with autoimmune, as well as so many other things, I'll introduce her whole bio here in a second, I said, you gotta be on the show, Sonia. And so I'm curled up here, and believe it or not, since it's October, I'm curled up here with a nice hot apple cider. And it's the start of my weekend. I hope it's the start of yours. What are you curled up with as we listen in to my time with Sonia? And she is a certified health and wellness coach, a patient advocate, a master core energy leadership coach, as well as being a certified Pilates instructor, a personal trainer, a nutrition consultant, and you know, a fellow through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. And she's a dedicated student of yoga for the past 20 years. Oh, my goodness. You know, I could keep going on and on, but I just want to bring Sonia on because she is a master of working with people and getting them, you know, just to live well regardless of their circumstances. She has worked with some and learned from some of the most brilliant out-of-the-box thinkers in neuroscience, physical therapy, kinesiology, and the integrative medicine doctors that help clients heal from the inside out. What a novel concept, Sonia. Thank you. Now, I just want to share, though, why you're on here with Life Interrupted, because, you know, she is living with multiple sclerosis, and she has since 1995. And you're probably scratching your head that I just said she does all this amazing stuff and living well with multiple sclerosis. She continues to defy the stats on the diagnosis. You know, she was told when she was diagnosed in 95 that she'd be in a wheelchair and blind within 10 years. I can attest that when I met her, none of that. Absolutely. Absolute, just pure energy radiating from you, my dear. So I know that you just believe so profoundly, like I do, in the mind-body-spirit connection and how that all plays together to make us well. That's when I said, I got to have you on Life Interrupted Radio. So I'm going to stop chatting and singing your praises and bring you on, Sonia. Thank you so much for being my guest here.
Oh, thank you so much, Sharon, for having me. This is fun. And by the way, we've had such a heat wave here in California that I am curled up with iced tea.
Okay, there you go. Well, I'm up here in Oregon where we had thunderstorms and hail this morning. So I said, time for the cider. So you enjoy your iced tea there,
perfect.
And I'll enjoy my cider here as we curl up. And we're just going to chat today. I love it when it becomes sort of a conversation. And I thought it would just be fun to chat. What is it like? You know, maybe you've been diagnosed with autoimmune, or a loved one's been diagnosed with an autoimmune. And, you know, it can be scary. It could be like, will I ever have a life again? Or is this the new normal? What's going on? And Sonia and I just thought we would chat about our own experiences about living fully, regardless of our diagnosis, and how we live with, continue to have a very successful life on our own terms. And so, Sonia, share with us a little bit just about, how you were diagnosed. And I know you kind of said, thanks a lot for the diagnosis, but that's not going to be my life.
Yes, I said that, but that came sometime later because I was an athlete and a competitive dancer. And running, I was a successful fashion designer running a Fortune 500 company. And to hear this diagnosis, I could explain all of the symptoms. And what happened was that I started losing vision in my right eye. And I could explain that too. At first, I thought it was contact lenses at the time. And I went to see an ophthalmologist and he ran some tests and he started asking me if I had any numbing or tingling sensations in my feet. And I said, well, yes, but I just started running again and I just don't think the shoes are a good fit. Or any pain in my arm. Well, yes, I'm an active yogini. And I did this particular posing correctly. And he went on to ask me several other questions and how about my fatigue and if I had any numbing or tingling sensations in my tongue, all of these different symptoms, right? And I could rationalize everything he was talking about. And then he said, well, you're symptomatic of multiple sclerosis.
Oh, my goodness.
And I didn't even know what that was. I thought I had no idea what that was. And I said, well, I'm also symptomatic of diabetes, and that runs in my family. He says, well, no, because of this, this, this. And I was in shock. And I went to get a second opinion, and then a third, ended up going to three different neurologists, and they all told me that I was symptomatic, and I was so frustrated because this was exactly a month before I was getting married.
Oh, no.
And as you can imagine, I didn't even know what MS was. I came home, and I looked it up on the computer, right? It's the Internet.
Which is good and bad. I want to just pop in here for a second. When I got the diagnosis of dermatomyositis, I think I mentioned to you, she could have said supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. As you said, you
exactly.
went into shock. My ears went closed. I had no idea. But the minute I left there, I'm pulling out my phone trying to figure out how to spell dermatomyositis. I couldn't figure out how to get that into my phone fast enough. And then I read it, and I was in shock. Even more than I was in shock before.
Yeah.
So it's good and bad that you can look it up now. Before, you never used to be able to do that.
Of course. And I mean, I was diagnosed 20 years ago, and so the information on it was very bleak as well. Several of the neurologists that had diagnosed me told me that, as you mentioned earlier, that I would be in a wheelchair and blind. That was the progression. And on top of that, they diagnosed me with progressive multiple sclerosis. And I thought my life is over. It was absolutely terrifying. And in fact, that I released my then fiance of all obligations to go through with the marriage. It's like, isn't that what you signed up for? They're telling me I'm going to die. They're going to tell me I'm going to be in a wheelchair and blind. And fortunately, he refused my offer to bail. It wasn't until a dear friend of mine who was an oriental medicine doctor said to me one day when she was giving me an acupuncture treatment, and she said, Sonia, because she had actually studied to be an MD and made a conscious decision that she didn't want to be prescribing for her whole life and then switched to oriental medicine. And she basically said to me one day, you know, Sonia, statistics are based on a quarter of the 7 billion people on this planet.
What a wonderful reframe.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. And so she said, so you have a choice, my friend. You can either choose to be a statistic or you can choose to heal. Which is it going to be?
Oh, what a wonderful friend. I mean, those are wonderful friends that are able to reframe it for you like that and then make you make a choice.
Exactly. And it changed my life after that. She connected me with a neurologist, another neurologist that she knew and had a tremendous respect for, and he called me at home that night, which is not the norm, as we all know, and said, what can I do for you? And I said, what you can do for me is tell me if there is a specific test that you can take that's going to tell you that yay or nay, I have MS or I don't, and I don't want to come in and have somebody else tell me I'm symptomatic because I'm symptomatic of a dozen, if not more, different illnesses. And so he did, and he ran some tests. Was a huge factor in changing my entire perspective about living with a chronic illness. And he actually said to me, he took an MRI and a scan of my spine and of my brain. And when I went into his office, because I'm so visual, I said, I want to see a normal, quote-unquote, normal brain, mm-hmm. and then I want to see my brain so that I understand what's happening to my body. And he was the first one that said, you know, Sonia, you don't have plaque or lesions so severe that this is going to put you in a wheelchair and blind. And all the other doctors had told me to stop all forms of exercise because it would exacerbate my condition. Remember, this is 20 years ago. And this doctor said there is studies being done now that proper exercise and nutrition will help stave off the progression.
I want to jump in here, though. So you're saying this was 20 years ago. Mine was 16 months ago. And I have to be honest, I went to one of the top doctors here. And when I first was diagnosed and sought out help with my condition, and what happened was they said to me, so what have you been doing so far? And I said, well, you know, I've done this with my diet, and I'm drinking only filtered water. You know, I went through this whole list of very, what we might, you know, put in air quotes, clean living type of stuff.
Exactly.
I'm still exercising, but instead of running, now I'm walking and blah, blah, blah. He looks at me with a completely straight face and says, none of that will help. So I want to say that not everyone out there in the helping community, in the healing community, is as progressive as I wanted to have my healthcare professionals to be.
Exactly.
So learning to advocate for ourselves during this time, I think that's what I fell in love with you about, was you're such a patient advocate as well as a master of wellness and so many other things, was this idea of, look, I'm the only one that's going to heal myself. I'm just seeking out highly educated people to help me.
Right. But all I needed was like a window of hope.
Right.
And that's what we don't get. Even today, as you said, and it's very, very true, because along my path, and when I retired from the fashion industry and I decided that this was really what I wanted to do, because everything was leading me to what I'm doing today, I realized that doctors are so siloed. They are so bound by insurance companies and pharmaceuticals that all they are really, we basically have like a 15-minute window in a doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know your symptoms, and then they prescribe.
Well, as you said about the symptoms, though, and I know you and I have chatted about this before, sometimes symptoms can sound like so many things, and how it was explained to me when I was finally diagnosed, because for a few years leading up to the final diagnosis, was I had these symptoms that were sort of bouncing around, and my doctor said, look, Sharon, there's this sort of baseline of symptoms that you're bouncing around in. Until we get one that's really out of the norm, like when my skin rashes happened, they couldn't put a label on it because fatigue, disturbed sleep, and food allergies, all of this other stuff could be anything from fibromyalgia to multiple sclerosis to lupus to, you know, you can just go on and on through the whole list of autoimmune conditions. that it's really hard in a doctor's office for 15 minutes to get that quality time you need, be seen as a whole person.
Exactly, exactly. And honestly, Sharon, there are between 80 to 100 different chronic autoimmune diseases out there, and they can all be very debilitating. So how do you know? And that's why I encourage, that's how I became a patient advocate, because I had so many clients that had been diagnosed and put on a specific medication when in fact they had something entirely different. And what happens is most often we are in such a state of shock when we're given the diagnosis to begin with, that, and then it's followed by the statistics.
Just the body language of the doctor who told me, who really wasn't an expert in the field, so referred me on, you know, but I remember her body language because she had been my dermatologist, and we'd been treating for something else for over a year, and then all of a sudden it became apparent. But I remember just even her body language was so, I'm like going, as a body language expert, I'm going, this isn't good. I don't know what she just said, but it's not good.
Right. Right. But you took it into your own hands.
Yes. But I think a lot of my friends weren't surprised that that happened. And that's why you and I connected, because I'm always an advocate for taking, even if you're scared, even if you're afraid, I am a lot. But
exactly.
Take it into your own hands, because you're the only one that knows really what's going on in your body. Like you said, the doctor's saying, do you have tingling in your toes? Do you have tingling in your tongue?
Right.
You know, it's so, you're the only one that really knows the whole thing.
Exactly. And the one thing that I really would love to address with that said is that when I was given the diagnosis followed by the statistics, and I was told to stop all forms of exercise and that this was going to be my future, because I believed what the doctors had said, within 4 months, I started losing mobility in my right leg. I started dragging my leg. The pain was just intolerable. The fatigue became so debilitating that I found myself having to pull over to the side of the road on the way home from work because I was falling asleep behind the wheel. Everything they told me was going to happen, I began to manifest because I believed that this was my future. I believed what they said. So what I really want people to know is that nobody, there is not a single doctor out there that knows your body better than you do. But your belief around what your diagnosis is more crucial than what the doctor is telling you, because that's it, Dr. Joe Dispenza is one of my heroes, and
yes.
and he has the book out called You Are the Placebo, right?
Right.
And it is so true, because if you believe what the doctors tell you is going to happen, if they gave you a pill and said, take this and this is going to heal you, and you believed it heart and soul, guess what? Your body's going to start to respond to what you're telling it. But if you believe,
And I think that's the amazing thing about the body, and some of the advocate work that I do is to work with people to understand that,
exactly.
As I say, the doctor is not going to heal you. You are going to heal you. The doctors you seek out and the other people you seek out are highly educated, have more information and more knowledge than you, and that's to impart with you that knowledge so you can take command of healing yourself. But a doctor can't make you walk or eat the right food. They can tell you, but nobody's going to heal yourself but yourself.
And to address even what you just mentioned, eating the right foods, for years, most doctors, I would say the majority of doctors, aren't even educated in nutrition as integrative medicine, in how food can actually affect your immune system.
Yeah.
And up until most recently, some of the, I know that a few universities have started integrating education on nutrition and the effects of what you eat has on your body and your immune system. So there is a paradigm shift happening. For which I'm very grateful for. It couldn't happen fast enough.
And I'm happy, too. I'm thrilled that there is getting more enlightenment to see us as whole people. And it seems almost odd that I'm just a layperson such as myself. I'm going, it would seem odd that they wouldn't take into account the fuel that we put into our body, which is food, wouldn't affect the body in positive and negative ways, depending on what you choose to fuel your body with. And so it's surprising to me that it's taken so long for the understanding of nutrition to be integrated in a more thorough way.
And today, and I think that there were so many more studies being done today on that in that area. And in all honesty, there are so many publications now that are being written around brain science and nutrition in overall health that I love seeing that. But, leaky gut, it's like, who ever heard of leaky gut? It wasn't even a conversation years ago, really?
Well, I even know of some doctors that I've met that tell me leaky gut is a myth.
Right? And that's because they haven't experienced it. I've read so many articles done by very, very well-known universities, including the Mayo Clinic and Scripps, and on and on. Harvard has even released a new study on not only the power of your brain to heal, but the power of the foods that you eat in your ability to heal. We live in such a fast food nation that it's like we're always eating on the go, and so we grab whatever's convenient, which is usually fast foods. And those fast foods have so much toxins in them that you're just poisoning your body. And it's just a matter of time before your body starts to manifest.
Yeah, and the other thing about, we'll just put in air quotes, fast food, is I have found, even when I'm eating what my body wants to be eating in the clean, organic, the way that I have chosen to be eating now, if I'm eating mindlessly, too fast, even that plays into it. So I have begun to make eating, I'll use the word a ritual.
Yes.
Because that played into my healing so much. Even though on paper you're like, that food should be doing the right thing, should be helping you, should be. And it was, but not to the extent that it does now that I make eating a ritual. Not in front of the television, that I sit down and I truly enjoy that time, whether I'm alone or with friends or whatever it is, but it becomes about what that moment in time, being as mindful of my eating as I can. And that amazed me too. So it's not just about the quality and the types of foods you put in, but it's like making sure, are you really chewing your food enough to get all of the enzymes into it so once it hits your gut that it will begin to digest? And I think that's the other part of air quotes, fast food, that if it's not, even if it's quality food, if you eat it too fast, like not swallow, like swallowing it without chewing it, you'll still not get all the benefits of it that you could be.
Exactly. And that's why they call it fast foods, because people are going through drive-thrus.
And swallowing it without chewing.
And they're driving and eating at the same time. So how well are you chewing your food?
Yeah. I never thought about chewing my food until all of this came up, and I met someone, a nutritionist and all of that, and she asked me that question, how are you chewing your food? And I thought, what? What do you mean? But even that was eye-opening when she described to me the mechanics and what happens chemically in your mouth when you chew your food. And I was like, wow. So it's... There's so many ways of living well, regardless of our diagnosis, that we can continue to just expound on. But we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll have Sonia Trejo back. And I know we've been wandering all over. Like I said, we're like two sisters having conversations here. But we'll get a little more focused on the other side of the commercial here. And Sonia's going to be telling us about how we can really have active, quality, physical lifestyles and really enjoy our lives regardless of our diagnosis. So we'll be back right after this commercial break.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
to get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm with Sonia Trejo. She's a certified health wellness coach, a patient advocate, a master core energy leadership coach. I could go on and on, but you've probably been listening to our first little chat together. You know, but I wanted to share with you that for the past 12 years, Sonia has she's just been following her passion and inspiring women struggling with MS, but also with other chronic diseases or autoimmune symptoms and things. She helps people understand, even if you haven't had that diagnosis yet, she is so wonderful about helping you understand how you can lead a quality life even if you don't have that autoimmune label, because it's not just about that. You know, maybe you're headed that way, but you haven't gotten it yet. She'll show you how to get back on the right path, because she's just a master of understanding all of this, as well as being an active cyclist, hiker, dancer, and a board member on everything from the Heartfelt Foundation to the MS Society. So she has not let her diagnosis stop her one iota, although, as she shared in the beginning of the interview, it stopped her for a while. She had to learn, like we all do, and that's what Life Interrupted Radio is about, is to help you live well. And so welcome back, Sonia. I know we were sort of on our own little rants about what it's like to live with autoimmune. Let's dial it in and share some tips that you can really share with people regardless of their diagnosis, okay. Or maybe they don't have a diagnosis yet, but they're feeling fatigue or not sleeping well or, you know, stressed, just any number of things. I know what you share helps people even if they don't have that diagnosis yet.
It's true, Sharon. We live in such a fast-paced society that we don't often stop to think about how quickly we are piling work on our desk. How many things are on our to-do list?
Right? It used to be pages
every day.
And pages.
yes, exactly. So what I say to a lot of my clients is there's several things, but I'm going to make it a little shorter because we can go on and on, like you said. So here's one of the things that I always say to my clients, first of all. First thing when you get up, when you're waking up and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got this meeting today and I can't stand the person that I'm going to be talking to, or I've got to do this or I've got to do that. When you wake up and those are the first thoughts in your head, that sets the pace for the rest of your day. So what if you could wake up in the morning and just have a gratitude statement?
Love it.
We all have something to be grateful for, regardless of what's going on in our lives.
You know, I love to say, even if you can't find it, just be grateful that you opened your eyes and took a breath. If you're going, my life is just so whatever, you know, and you can't come up with that gratitude statement, just say, thank you, my eyes are open, I'm breathing, I'm here.
And one of my other wonderful teachers, Eckhart Tolle, would always say, if the only word of gratitude that you can say is thank you, you're already sending that message out.
Beautiful.
Because honestly, there were days during the crux of my diagnosis where all I could find to be grateful for was a hot shower days in.
Yeah.
Even though there were several other things, there was a plethora of things that I could be grateful for. Sometimes I was so deep into that rabbit hole that that's all I could think of. So it doesn't have to be complicated. Some days I just wake up and I said, thank you.
I love it.
And that sets the pace for my day. I try to get my clients not to listen to the news first thing in the morning. Because it's just kind of, it's the same thing, different day. Wouldn't it be awesome if there were more shows like this that were positive news stations, right?
Yeah. But I also say I not fall asleep to the news.
So that's the thing. So your subconscious mind is more susceptible to what you are saying to it just at sleep or upon wakening. So if you're going to sleep with a ton of stress in your mind, your body's manifesting all of that during the hours that you're sleeping. And your subconscious is manifesting what your brain, what your conscious mind is feeding it. And it's the same when you awaken first thing in the morning. So most of my clients, they text me gratitude statements every day.
Oh, how fun is that? Not only is it good for them?
Yes.
But when we share things with people, and I know it's great for you to see a gratitude statement, but just the act of sharing,
exactly.
is, and whether it's to your coach like yourself or to your beloved or to your child, your friend, whatever, isn't that wonderful? Because it changes the person receiving this lovely gratitude statement. It changes. I love it. I just love that.
So that's one of the most important things, because what you believe in your mind is what your subconscious, what your body manifests. And so it's important for people to understand that. And two, again, it's gratitude. Always find something to be grateful for every day. And you're going to start finding little miracles in your life. And some people think, oh, yeah, right. I was one of those folks at one point. I was like, oh, yeah, sure. But the more you find things to be grateful for, I can't tell you how many times I see butterflies now. I've learned amazing lessons from my dogs. They stop and smell the roses and everything. They are curious all the time. And so they've taught me, instead of walking super fast because I've got to get my workout in, I stop. If I see a beautiful rose, I'll stop and I'll smell that rose.
I love it.
Or I stop to look at the different colors of green and all the trees that surround me. Oh my gosh, I'd never noticed that before. It's beautiful. I find that I'll stop and I'll always have my cell phone with me. I'm not on it, but I have it with me in case of emergencies. But what I've ended up using my cell phone for now most often is when I'm on walks or when I think of something, I'll stop and I'll take a photograph. And when I upload it onto my computer, I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. I just saw that today.
I love that.
Because we process, like, I think the number is like 60 billion, but we actually process, I think, like 60 or 70 billion, but I think we have more than 70 billion thoughts that go through our heads every moment, every second of the day. And so to just take a moment and be in gratitude for something really changes your thought process.
It does. And I can't tell you how many times once I started doing that there again, getting very systematic about things and making sure that they're the right things to get systematic about really changed my life when I found in an odd way. I was grateful for this finding too, that when I woke up and I do a gratitude statement and I do other rituals such as eating slower and mindful eating and things like that, but I started being very systematic. In one respect, outside of the diagnosis, I had to be, because that's when I felt healthiest, so I found that I had to be.
Right.
I'm not a systems person, but I was forced into a system. But the wonderful gift of being in that system, that fourth system that I found that I loved, was it continues to build on itself, and I found myself even being more productive.
Yes.
Than I was in the old way.
Yes, and here's the other thing. On that to-do list of 20-something things I used to have every day, I have 3 or 4 things on my to-do list now, daily. What are the priorities? And my to-do list is titled, Things I Get to Do with Gratitude Today.
Oh, great title. Great title.
So that's how I write my to-do list. When I write my budget for the month, I always write health, gratitude, and prosperity. When I write a check, I write gratitude on the bottom of the check, because the more you practice, like you say, the more you start to live it, the more you start to see more of it manifesting. the to-do list, we all have a million things to do because we have billions of thoughts that go through our heads every day. So when I'm having a thought, it's like, oh my gosh, I forgot to do this. Write it down. And then when I do my things I get to do with gratitude list, I put the things that are the most important. And those, then I know I'm going to get through those. And if I get through those, I was like, oh, that was great. I think I can fit one more thing in. But I don't do 20 things. And I used to be addicted to having that highlighter on 20 some odd things on my to-do list.
Soul sisters.
Right?
Oh, dear. Yes, but I came about that one of the things that I did with my ultra-long list was it's a wonderful friend who's a productivity expert said to me as I was going through all of this, you know, Sharon, if it's still on your list after a couple of weeks, you're never going to get to it. So either cross it off your list or, you know, give it to someone else to do. Hire somebody to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
But don't keep it on your list. I mean, you know, either cross it off, do whatever you need to do, but don't have a list that's so long that you're never going to get to it all.
Exactly. Which brings up another point, Sharon, because many of us with autoimmune and there are so many autoimmune illnesses are really invisible to most people.
Yes.
I mean, people will look at you and I and say, there's nothing wrong with you.
Exactly.
And I was like, you're right. There's nothing wrong with me. I actually had a doctor that I was working with one of her patients, and her patient had asked me as my client, she had asked me if I could refer her to another doctor for a second opinion, and I did so, and her doctor was so angry that she says, you don't even have MS. You wouldn't be able to do what you're doing if you had MS.
Hmm.
I was floored. I was really floored. And the whole point of my bringing that up is, yes, we all many autoimmune diseases are very invisible to the naked eye until they start to progress. Part of what happens when you have an autoimmune disease, at least in my experience and for many of my clients, that is an invisible disease, is that we become very isolated, hesitate to reach out for help to others, whether it's your loved ones or whether it's to your closest friends or whether it's to a community that can support you, that understands what you're going through. We tend to become very isolated and very, I'm going to get through this. We take on that warrior attitude, and that's not necessarily healthy. I mean, yes, be a warrior, but when you're fighting, the term warrior has two meanings for me. There's a spiritual warrior, and then there's the warrior with all the arsenal. When people say that I'm fighting this battle, I'm not fighting this battle. I have embraced my MS. I am so grateful for living with MS because it changed my life in the most extraordinary ways. Yes, there were many times when it was so painful that I couldn't even get out of bed. There were times when it was so depressing that I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. But there was always a little light at the end of the tunnel. I just had to be open to seeing it. And when I couldn't see it, I had people in my life that would help me see it.
I agree. That's been a blessing for me, too, is having people in my life. And interestingly enough, yes, I have very beautiful friends and family that have been extremely supportive. But the other thing I found interesting, and this goes back to gratitude in a way, that sometimes when I'm feeling, I can think of this one time when I still had rashes, but I had my everything covered up in hoping that no one could see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a stranger in a shop who, for whatever reason, had insight that I wasn't aware of, you know. I mean, just a complete stranger. He was a shopkeeper, and I write about meeting him in my book, Mindfulness in Action, how that changed my life. So it doesn't have to always be the loved ones that can create a radical shift in your consciousness. So I encourage you, the listener, to not just even when you're feeling like, oh, you know, I've tapped out all of my friends, or everyone's too tired of taking care of me, whatever that is. It can also come be open to it coming in the most amazing ways.
Yes, unexpected.
Yeah, unexpected. It can come from complete strangers, too.
Absolutely. Sharon, is it okay if I share a very quick story about one of my clients? Because this just recently happened.
Sure.
And it's so along what we're speaking about now. So I have a client who, and by the way, every single one of the people that I work with, every one of my clients just inspire me beyond belief. To me, their bravery and their willingness to be vulnerable and willingness to see beyond and into unlimited, infinite possibilities is just extraordinary. So one of my clients is currently in Europe, and she wrote me an email saying that she used her cane. She has some mobility challenges, so we do a lot of work walking with using walking sticks or a cane. And so she took a cane with her to Europe, and she writes me this email that as she was getting on the phone, she says, I was so angry because all people see is a cane. It's like I'm invisible, and everybody's offering to help me. No, I don't need help. I can use my cane. And she was really, really angry and said, I almost feel like throwing that thing away. Because I got through this and I got through that, and I wrote her back saying, what an amazing gift that little cane gave you to realize that your mobility is so much greater than you thought it was.
Amazing.
And she emailed back saying, oh my goodness, you're right. Because often we forget where we were, we forget the progress that we make, and go back to where we were, or we go back to what the limitations are as opposed to all of the things that we are able to do that perhaps we weren't able to do before.
Oh, it's so true. And reminds me of, I just got back from a trip from Europe myself, which was a little tough on me. And I went to one of my healthcare professionals, you know, how are you doing? And I said, you know, emotionally not too well right now. I had to be honest with her. I said, before I left, I was doing so well. I mean, really, really well. I thought I was well. And then I had some challenges, and now I'm not doing so well. And her beautiful reframe, similar to your reframe, was, Sharon, when we first started this journey, we didn't know where the landscape was. We didn't know how to get your health back. We didn't know how we were going to build that back. Yeah, you took, you know, let's look at it. And she made this swooping up, like climbing up a hill motion with her hand. And she said, you were here when I first met you, and now you're here. And then she takes her hand down about just an inch. She goes, and yeah, you slipped a little bit. But you know what? All that happened were a few of the blocks got knocked out of place. A few of those building blocks got knocked out of place. We just have to put them back up. We know what the building blocks are that make you at this place where the wellness is there and everything is working the way it should be. And I just love that idea that this is a journey. It's not falling off the cliff or type thing. It's
right.
It's a journey. And I love that idea where you reframed about the cane and the gift, and then brought to mind how Jenny said to me, look, we now know what the building blocks are, so we're not starting from scratch again. We're just having to rebuild the building blocks. We're just having to sort of tweak them back into place.
Yeah. It's easy to get caught on the downward side of the spiral sometimes.
It is.
And knowing that sometimes you slide down and then you come up a little bit, and you slide down and you move forward. And you say, that's what life is about, is about those experiences. That's how we learn.
Absolutely. And that's why people such as yourself, Sonia, are so important to have as a coach, or whether you could find that in your own network or whatever. But that's why people such as yourself are so important to help us to keep us realizing, sometimes when we can be really, what I say, passionately connected with someone, but we're not entangled in the emotions of it. So we're able to see it from that different perspective and help people see, you know, not falling all the way back down or getting caught and tangled up into it again, that they're able to continue the healing path. They might have just taken a tiny little detour here or there.
Of course. It's like it reminds me of when way before nav systems and cars, and my father, we'd be on our trip on our way someplace, And of course, he would never stop to ask for directions, and we would be lost, driven around in circles, and he would turn around, and when I'd say, "Daddy, are we lost?" he says, "We're not lost, we're just getting to know the area." So that's what I say to people, you're not lost. You just know this much more now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes I have to say, yes, I did slip a little bit, and I did notice some certain things that cropped up. But it also, the gift of that was it, sometimes as you're doing so well, all of a sudden, this is the evil twin on my shoulder, like, well, you know, one time won't hurt, or you can cheat just this one time, or you can do, you know, or you don't have to walk today, or this is a little evil twin pops up every so often on my shoulder and tells me these little things. But the gift in this was, like, you know what? You were on the right path. You were doing the right things. Keep it up. It was just a reminder of, look, all of the walking that you do, all of that wasn't for naught. Keep it up. It was a good reminder for me too, that I was on the right path. And I am able to get back. I'm now back on the right path again.
It's so true. It's one of the other things that I often ask my clients to do is to journal how they're feeling. Whether they're feeling fabulous, if they're feeling great and they're having a fabulous day, journal about it. If they're really kind of down that rabbit hole for whatever reason, journal about it. Because it's always interesting to go back and read where you were to where you are now.
Oh, so true.
One of the other things that I do with my clients is that when I first start working with them, I videotape them. I videotape their mobility. I record our conversations, and then I send it to them. And many times when, as we all tend to kind of duck into that rabbit hole or on the backside of the spiral sometimes, it's great to remember to be able to have something to go back to and say, oh my gosh, this is where I was, but here's where I am now.
I love it. Sort of the weight loss before and after pictures.
Exactly. It's exactly. But this is autoimmune before and after, right?
Right, right. Let me share something about journaling that I just love. I love journaling, and I mean blogging is a form of journaling, so it doesn't have to be whatever that works for you. Even video blogging works. I love to write. I just love to handwrite. And when I journal, I was taught this years ago, that write on the right-hand side of the page, but leave the left-hand side of the page blank. And they shared with me, then go back at a set period of time, whatever that is. It could be 1 month, 6 months, a year. It's up to you, or often. And on the left-hand side of the page, write what's changed. Because oftentimes we're thinking that old quote of this too shall pass. Sometimes, as you said, we get stuck in that rabbit hole, and then maybe that rabbit hole, we come out of it, something is solved, and we sort of forget about the successes, or we forget about what has passed and where we've come. So it's lovely to be able to write, maybe it was 6 months ago when we write, okay, I'm reading this 6 months later, and this is what's changed. And it,
right.
For me, it just resets, like, oh, okay, this isn't, whatever is going right now isn't forever. And that's for both for the positive and the negative. That's not just a negative type of statement.
Right. And many times the negative isn't really so much a negative. It's really how we view it at that particular time. Like the cane isn't really a negative. It's just how we viewed it at that time.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, you know, you and I could just keep going on forever and ever here, but we're just about out of time. And I want to make sure the audience knows how to get a hold of you. And can you share with us about, I know you have a fantastic book called Thriving Beyond MS, On the Other Side of Fear Lies Freedom, as well as I haven't had a chance to get your new e-book out, which is What If Your Doctor's Wrong? So please take a few minutes here and just share about your practice and how people can get your book and all that good juicy stuff.
Okay. So there's a couple of ways. My website is soniatrejo.com. S-O-N-I-A, T as in Tom, R-E, J as in Jack, O.com. And on my website, I developed a free virtual workshop. It's an evergreen workshop. And the reason I call it a workshop is because you are involved. It's not just me. It's not just me talking to you. I actually take you through some really, really wonderful exercises that will really benefit and help everyone. It's titled Thriving Beyond MS and Other Chronic Illnesses, On the Other Side of Fear Lies Freedom. And on my website, you can just click on it and it'll take you straight to that. And there is also a little link to a free ebook titled What If Your Doctor's Wrong? And the subtitle is The Three Common Mistakes That Can Kill You. And I know that's a really powerful, I know that's a kind of like, oh my gosh, title, and I really debated whether to write that or not. And the reason I did is because of so many of my clients that have been misdiagnosed or undiagnosed or misdiagnoses altogether. And I wrote it as a means not to blast doctors, because part of what I do is I help doctors bridge the gap. I help doctors help their patients because they're so limited to what they can do. But I also wanted to empower everybody listening to this radio show. I wanted to empower people on what to look for and what the questions are that you should ask your doctors and how to understand what the different diagnoses are, because they really can kill you. And I don't mean just physically. I mean, they kill your hopes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even worse than a physical death. So it's What If Your Doctor's Wrong? The Three Common Mistakes That Can Kill You. And you can also go to my Facebook page, and it's Sonia Trejo, The Alchemy of Hope and Healing. And you'll find that ebook there as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So there's a couple of different things. So
do you have on your website there how people can work with you as well, Sonia? Because I know that you do a lot of coaching.
Absolutely. And you can actually go to Work With Me on my website. You can schedule an appointment or give me a call. My number's on there. I'm happy to speak to people. And I have a blog on my website as well. I have a blog on my Facebook page. And I write articles because I love to write as well. You'll also find me as a regular contributor to Sibella magazine starting. It's a women's magazine, and it's starting as of January 2016. You'll find me there every month.
Well, congratulations. How exciting is that?
Thank you. It is exciting, and I'm excited about it.
Absolutely. And everyone, go over to Sonia's blog at soniatrejo.com, because her blog is filled with so much great information. It's really stuff that you can use right away. So I encourage you to go over there and check out Sonia even deeper than we've had this chance, just to have what I call a girl talk time here.
Yes.
And everyone, we'll be back right after this commercial break. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes, and who doesn't have 4 minutes? Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Oh my goodness, wasn't Sonia great? You know what? I let time slip away when she and I get chatting like that. This time slips away. So we're just about out of time. Thank you for being here, listening to another podcast from Life Interrupted Radio. Please join me here next week, Friday night, 7 p.m., for a brand new broadcast. As always, I always say, have a great week, whatever your adventures, and thank you for joining me here. Please be sure and connect with me over at www.lifeinterruptedradio.com as well. And enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com. This episode is brought to you by mindfulnessinactionbook.com. To get your free 4-minute guided meditation to relax, refresh, and renew in just 4 minutes,
And who doesn't have 4 minutes?
Stop by mindfulnessinactionbook.com now. This guided meditation is in handy MP3 format, so you can use it anywhere, anytime. Download it now at mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
This is the EWN Radio Network.